Ellis will start 30th. Josh Balicki goes 29th. Leland Honeyman is the 28th starter. Brendan Poole starts 27th. Shane Van Gisbergen will start 26th. Corey Heim back there in the 13th row. He'll start 25th. Jeremy Clements goes 24th. Matt DiBenedetto starts 23rd. Josh Williams is the 22nd starter, and Kyle Weatherman qualified 21st.
NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series driver Daniel Dye driving for Colic Racing today will roll off in 20th. Jesse Love will start 19th. Riley Herbst will start from 18th with Jeb Burton in 17th. 16th starter is Anthony Alfredo. Parker Kligerman will start in 15th. 14th is Josh Berry. This is the team, Am Racing, that had Joey Logano drive its car last week. Josh climbs aboard today. Parker Retzlaff will start in 13th. Sam Mayer starts 11th, and Austin Hill will roll off in 11th.
A.J. Allmendinger will start 10th. Sammy Smith goes 9th. Cole Custer will start 8th, and Ryan Sieg 7th. William Byron will start 6th. Chandler Smith 5th. Taylor Gray 4th. Justin Allgaier starts 3rd. And on the front row, Brandon Jones starts 2nd. And winning the pole earlier today in qualifying, Sheldon Creed with a time of 53.810 seconds, 167.255 miles per hour.
Five drivers to the back because of unapproved adjustments and other items. Jesse Love, Josh Berry, Taylor Gray, Ryan Truex, and Brendan Poole will fall to the back of the field for the initial start. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Motor Racing Network.
You're listening to coverage of NASCAR on Real Country 1430 WRDN, Durand and Mondovi, Wabasha. Coverage of NASCAR on WRDN brought to you in part by Adams Super Service of Durand.
Motor Racing Network is with the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Pocono Raceway in Pocono, Pennsylvania. So glad you're spending your Saturday afternoon with us here on the Motor Racing Network. The engines have just been fired. The field is rolling onto the racetrack. And let's take a spin around the 2.5 mile Pocono Raceway where the field crosses the start-finish line. There is a lot of straightaway that they'll be greeted by when they get to the end of the straightaway. It's a hard left turn into turn number one, and awaiting them there will be Dave Moody, a Barry, Vermont.
Thank you, Mike Bagley. Good afternoon once again, everybody. That is the longest front straightaway in all of NASCAR. Gives them plenty of time to come up with great ideas for when they hit turn one. They're rolling through right now in Noah's Ark formation. A nice, tidy 2x2. Don't get used to that. On the initial start and on every subsequent restart, they'll be at least three wide, sometimes four, five. The world record is seven. A lot of the time, those numbers do not work out for everybody to exit at the other end of turn number one. It's an exciting place to watch a race. We'll do it from high atop the Coca-Cola billboard. Now let's go to the other end of the Long Pond straightaway in Killingly, Connecticut's Kyle Ricky.
All right, thank you very much, Dave, and good afternoon, everybody, from a scaffold just to the outside of turn number two. However, once off of turn one, the field will race onto the Long Pond straightaway. 3,055 feet of asphalt that will allow these drivers plenty of time to set up or perhaps execute a pass before reaching turn two or the top of the triangle here at Pocono. A fairly tight corner, just 8 degrees of banking. Inside lane is preferred, although the middle is an option when making a pass. Now, once off of turn number two, the cars will race onto a short straightaway, and that's on approach to turn three, where they'll race into the view of Barboursville, West Virginia's Jason Toy.
All right, thanks a lot, Kyle Ricky, from high atop the Coca-Cola billboard, just outside of turn number three here in the west end of the race course, 1,780 feet. That is the short straightaway from turn two to turn three. When they get here, only 6 degrees of banking here, so virtually a very flat racetrack. We'll see them go four wide, three wide most of the time through this part of the corner, but the tricky part of it as you go back out on that long front straightaway is that it narrows up to only 60 feet after getting the peak of it at 100 feet. It is a lot of drivers going to have to try to work that wheel back to the left to get it back down the front straightaway. When they clear this part of the race course, back to the front side with Mike Bagley and Alex Hayden.
And Todd Gordon is our expert championship winning crew chief. He'll have his analysis all race long. The front stretch here, we've talked about it, 3,740 feet long.
The light is fading, your hands are sore, and the last tool has been put away. Now is the time to feel the satisfaction that comes with a job well done. But when you get your tools from Harbor Freight, something about the job feels a little different. Your wallet. Because we believe that everyone deserves hardworking tools at hardworking prices. And that's what we have here. So, whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
This is Mike Bagley. Join me along with the cast and crew of the Motor Racing Network every Tuesday night for NASCAR Live. Hear exclusive interviews.
It's my responsibility as a driver to leave the sport in a better place than it was when I got here. And certainly sometimes it comes with controversial takes.
The best moments from each of NASCAR's premier series.
They bang sideways at the line. Photo finish.
An in-depth breakdown to the latest NASCAR news and more. It's NASCAR Live every Tuesday night at 7 Eastern.
From Pocono Raceway, this is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast. You gotta love the hometown guys.
Become a preferred customer of the hometown guys at Adams Super Service of Durand and receive $30 off your sixth oil change when you get five. Every oil change at Adams Super Service includes a complete safety check of your vehicle from the ASE certified technicians at Adams Super Service, your Napa Auto Care Gold Center, downtown Durand. Visit them online at adamsuperservice.com.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Annapa Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Turn your smartphone into a radio. Download the free Android app at RealCountry1430.com. Brought to you by Prime Realty of Durand.
Time now to get you to pit road for some extra information before the drop of today's green flag. This trip to pit lane is presented by Harbor Freight. Hardworking tools at hardworking prices. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Steve Post.
Alex, the state of Pennsylvania has so much great racing and great racing history and so many great racers. Crew chief for Brennan Poole is Frankie Kerr. Frankie's from Bensalem, Pennsylvania. That's a town between Philadelphia and Trenton. At 6 years of age, Frankie started racing quarter midgets, ended up with more than 100 wins. At 11 years of age, he started building his own engines. Frankie carved out an incredible career in sprint car racing, including four All-Star Circuit of Champion wins, wins at every track here in the state of Pennsylvania. And in the year 2000, Frankie abruptly quit sprint car racing and started his second career, crew chiefing in NASCAR. Today is his 150th Xfinity Series start, 495th start across all three of NASCAR's Big Three Series, and he is a member of the 2016 class of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. So many great racers, including Frankie Kerr, calling the shots for Brennan Poole here today at Pocono. Alan Cavana.
Three of the Joe Gibbs Racing Toyotas qualified in the top five. The fourth JGR Toyota is Ryan Truex, and he qualified 34th. He doesn't race all the time, only gets a few starts. Turns out during qualifying, he was super loose. Why? They believe it was because of a gear oil leak that was making him loose out there on the racetrack. They've had to fix that issue, which means he will move to the back, but only losing four spots. He still believes they have all that JGR Toyota speed, just has a lot of work to do. At the start of this race, Ryan Truex is a proven winner, but only has three more starts scheduled after this, trying to make the most of every opportunity starting today.
The green flag coming up in one lap.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy in four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Drivers, start your engines!
Your home for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
Green flag goes in the air and we are underway.
The Motor Racing Network.
Two by two by two, they're about 10 rows deep of double wide racing. Taylor Gray to the bottom. Nick Sanchez outside and they're crashing mid-pack.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Checkered flag is in the air and Corey Heim has scored the win.
From Pocono Raceway, this is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
The year was 1993.
The NASCAR Cup Series season kicked off with the Dale and Dale Show at the Daytona 500.
Dale Jarrett's got the lead. He goes to the inside. Earnhardt not going to get him. Dale Jarrett is going to win the Daytona 500 by STP. Earnhardt second.
The 1993 NASCAR Cup Series season. All the highs and lows. Relive them all on MRN's exclusive podcast. The 1993 season. Available on podcast platforms and MRN.com.
From the infield garages to the race shops, NASCAR Hot Pass is your all-access ticket to the latest news from the sport.
Well, we got them down. Now we put our foot on them. And that's the attitude you got to have.
I don't think it's a move that can have any success at Martinsville. I still don't know why it worked.
Stay up to date with all of your favorite drivers all year long.
Get to the Final Four is what every driver in NASCAR's goals are.
NASCAR Hot Pass, weekday mornings from the Motor Racing Network.
We are less than a half a lap away from going under the green flag here at the Pocono Raceway. The NASCAR Xfinity Series getting ready for 90 laps of racing. Eight races remain in the regular season. And after the challenges of a week ago being in the streets of Chicago, I'm sure that a lot of this field, Alex, is embracing a trip to the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania today.
Yeah, they are, but they can't rest on their laurels. This is a very difficult track to get a handle on as a race car driver, as we've heard Dave, Kyle and Jason described the uniqueness of all three of these corners. Field now in turn number three to call the start of today's NASCAR Xfinity Series race from Milford, Delaware. Here's Mike Bagley.
Sheldon Creed will start on the outside lane. Brandon Jones will lead the lane down low. Pace car is on the pit lane. Green flag is in the air. We're off and running this afternoon in the Poconos. Sheldon Creed away with the lead by half a car length. No one breaking out into three-wide territory. Everybody doubled up as they head to one.
Finding their manners on the initial start as they charge down into turn number one. Now we'll have a breakout in line. Diving down to the low side. Picking up a couple of spots is Chandler Smith. He'll go to the number three spot as they're still side-by-side for the lead.
With Brandon Jones to the inside, trying to take the top spot away. Sheldon Creed now caught in the middle momentarily. Chandler Smith thought about going to the outside to make it three-wide. By the time they get to turn number two for the first time, it's the outside lane that prevails. Sheldon Creed in the front by a half a car length.
Brandon Jones holding strong to driver's left. He'll pull back even now with Creed. Now, as he works his way back into turn number three, looking further back through the field, it is William Byron slicing and dicing his way to fifth.
Side by side for the race lead off turn number three, coming to the start finish line to complete lap number one. A virtual dead heat at the line. Brandon Jones to the inside. Sheldon Creed topside. Jones gets credit for leading the lap.
He gave it a heck of a rundown on that low line, but he still hasn't got it clear. They go side by side into turn number one. Brandon Jones on the inside. Sheldon Creed on the outside. Now three wide to the bottom. Here comes Justin Allgaier as Creed takes the spot. Spin in turn number one. Into the outside wall goes the G. Buford machine. Spun it around backwards, and he has shortened up Mike Harmon's race car by about 3 feet.
In turn number two, race leader still under the green flag. Sheldon Creed out front by a car length over Brandon Jones.
Caution is on the speedway. It is Dawson Cram going for a spin in turn number one. We will go under the caution now as the field will enter turn number three, and we are slowed for the very first time as we complete lap two.
What an effort there at the front of the field, these drivers getting after it side by side. Sheldon Creed actually got credit for leading lap number one by 2/100ths of a second, and Sheldon Creed will be our race leader under our first caution. Brandon Jones is second, Chandler Smith third, Justin Allgaier fourth, and Cole Custer is fifth.
Hey, I hear you think podcasts are all about true crime, huh? Well, wise guy, the iHeartRadio app's got all kinds of podcasts. We got stuff you should know and stuff they don't want you to know. We got Bobby Bones, Big Boy, and Lou Later. We got SpongeBob Binge Pants and Exotic Erotic Storytime. We got Doughboys, Two Dudes in a Kitchen, Green Eggs and Dan. Hey, we got ElfQuest. We got podcasts for everything on the iHeartRadio app for free. If you don't download that, well, that's not just a true crime, my friend. That's criminal.
Do you have an unused car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or RV taking up space? Put it to good use by donating it to the NASCAR Foundation. Proceeds help fund medical resources for children in our racing community. Your wheels can heal. Call 844-NASCAR-9 and we'll come tow away your vehicle for free. The process is quick and your gift is tax deductible. Call 844-NASCAR-9 to donate your vehicle to the NASCAR Foundation today. Your donation will help our children survive and thrive.
Working caution flag number one of today's race. Two laps are complete. Happened with the Dawson Cram car getting crossed up in turn number one in hard contact with the safer barrier. From Pocono Raceway, this is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Be listening for the WRDN Outdoor Report, Monday through Friday at 8:20 and 4:20. Brought to you by Ryan's Sports Shop, downtown Durand.
Pit Road is open here on lap number three, and Steve Post, Shane Van Gisbergen is taking the opportunity to come in.
Yeah, Shane Van Gisbergen, that's easy for me to say. Shane Van Gisbergen brings his car into the attention of the crew. He started mid-pack on the field, did SVG, and he's bringing that car down and back out on the racetrack. A minor adjustment on that automobile, and he's down and away.
So SVG will rejoin the tail end of the field. Right now, Sheldon Creed, Brandon Jones had a great battle for the lead. I noticed that Brandon Jones was getting help from his Junior Motorsports teammate, Justin Allgaier. They were starting to make some hay and starting to get, but then Brandon got loose in turn number one and gave a couple of spots up. And it's interesting hearing from the drivers and the crews in the garage about how the tires are wearing, and this is going to be a handling race as well.
Yeah, it is, and it's one thing to get down into turn one at Pocono by yourself. It's already a bit eyebrow-raising and gets your attention, but when somebody's on your bumper shoving you in basically further than what you normally like to go into the corner, that can really get your attention in two fistfuls of steering wheel and to be able just to hang on to the race car.
Let's go back to pit road, Steve Post.
You guys talk about tire wear, and a lot of times we don't talk about the speed coming out of the tires or tire speed falling off. Goodyear has changed things up a little bit with the teams. This is the same left side tire that they've ran here the last 2 years. They also ran this same left side tire at Dover and Darlington, but it's a different right side tire, and it does appear to be wearing a little bit more, wearing in a good sense, and that speed is coming out of it. I talked to Jeff Mendering, crew chief for Sammy Smith, and he said, we're going to need to look at taking tires throughout the race every time we stop because the speed is that significant. So tire wear is something they're going to be conscious of as this race plays out. Not only fuel strategy, but tire strategy as well. They have five sets for the event. They've used two of them with practice and qualifying, so they've got three sets laying here on the ground waiting to go on these cars.
Strategy is something that is going to play out, and never too soon to start strategizing, Todd. As a crew chief, when you come to Pocono, you laid out perfectly the different options you have. But as a crew chief, when the green flag flies, how flexible do you really need to be, or do you try to stay as married to your strategy that you pre-planned?
Well, as Steve talked about, they've got five sets for the race. They use one in practice. They've got a set of qualifying scuffs, but they've only got three sets laying. That kind of locks you in. You don't have extra sets to take at different times. If you think about it, those three sets in a standard traditional call would be one at the end of stage one, one at the end of stage two. And I don't think from stage two you can get all the way to the finish, so you're going to need to stop one more time. So that kind of restricts these guys to you've got to think about if you want to do something different, you're going to have to give up one of your normal stops.
I've gotten this question, Todd, from race fans a lot, asking, like, when you buy X amount of set of tires and you've got X amount of set of tires in the pit box, when the race is over, and if you leave a set or two unused, what happens to those tires?
So they go back to the tire and wheel company. They're in your allotment. There's something you have. And NASCAR will let these teams, like if it's a tire code, because we, as we talked about, we have a different right side code. But if we use this right side code, let's say next week at Indianapolis, you can bring one set to use as your practice tires. So you can find a way to get rid of these tires. A lot of these tires don't end up getting used by the end of the season, and they're just used up.
So basically, there's a no-refund policy. Once you buy them, you got them.
Yeah, it's a no-refund. Once they're bought, they're yours, and you keep them in inventory until they get to the point where you either use them in another event where you can bring one set, or you shred them at the end of the year.
We will get the one-to-go signal this time by to get the opportunity to choose what lane to restart in. Is there a preferred line in most people's opinion here at Pocono Raceway as far as inside or outside? What we saw yesterday in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, most every restart came from the outside lane from the control car or the leader, and that's going to be the same case right now.
Dave, good question for you. When they flare out like that, inside and outside, what's been the experience here? Does the outside lane have the advantage? Does the inside get the jump? How does it all shake out when they go into the funnel down there?
The outside lane tends to have the advantage, Mike, but there are limits to that. The 3-wide guy may not. The 4-wide guy may not. The 7-wide guy right up next to the safer barrier kicking up dust most certainly does not. Nobody plans to be the 7-wide guy, but sometimes it just works out that way.
Well, here is Jesse Love peeling off the racetrack and coming down to pit road. They jacked the right side of the car up. Let's go to Alan Cavana.
A pure strategy call for Jesse Love and the two crew down here. They've rolled off the truck. They haven't liked their car since. This is Jesse's first race here at Pocono, and they've just gone backwards after qualifying 19th. So to just mix up the strategy a little bit, they waited as long as they could, came down, topped off the fuel. Maybe that'll help them later when it comes to fuel strategy. Check something out underneath the car, but no tire change yet for Love and crew, but he's on and off pit road.
Lap 5 of 90, and we're seeing strategy already, trying to keep that fuel cell packed as tight as possible, not knowing when you may need that extra gallon or two towards the end of the race or the end of the stage.
And I talked to Steve Post earlier. He told me that he's hearing high 30s for fuel windows and what they can go from 5. This might put you in a potential position to skip stage 1 and get to stage 2.
So strategy playing out already, and that is part of the charm of racing here at Pocono Raceway. As the field makes their way down the short stretch between turns 2 and 3, more and more cloud cover. No threat of rain today, just big puffy clouds, but mostly blue sky here in the mountains of Pennsylvania, and that is most welcomed.
Absolutely, it is. Sheldon Creed, Brandon Jones lined up for the restart. They are 1 and 2. Chandler Smith will restart in 3rd. Justin Allgaier in 4th. Cole Custer in 5th. William Byron will restart in 6th. With Austin Hill in 7th. Ryan Sieg in 8th. Sammy Smith in 9th. And A.J. Allmendinger will restart at lap 6 in the 10th position.
They hit the Geico restart zone. Oh, Sheldon Creed waits till late in the zone to go. That bottleneck next everybody up. Some bumper car action on both lanes, but everybody gets away, headed to 1.
Everybody gets away. They're back 3 mile, maybe 4 wide, back around 15th place, but at the front of the pack, Sheldon Creed this time executes a bit of a getaway, but back comes the 9 car on the inside of the racetrack. Brandon Jones trying to keep up the challenge for the lead.
By the time they get off of turn number 1, it's the outside lane that prevails. Sheldon Creed goes to the point. Chandler Smith will follow him up into that second spot. Cole Custer in 3rd, and now to the inside in a race for 4th, Brandon Jones to the inside of Justin Allgaier, who takes that 1st spot away.
Teammates right there from Junior Motorsports will fall back there in that 5th position for Brandon Jones. Up front, a pair of Toyotas get away with it. Sheldon Creed, 2nd lane up. Chandler Smith along with Justin Allgaier on the bottom.
Watching the race for the 6th position, exit turn 3 and come on to the main straightaway. That's where Austin Hill is trying to open up the inside lane. He'll do it, coming off the corner. But the problem is, Dave, Cole Custer is to his outside, and Cole Custer has a trunk full of Ryan Sieg.
He certainly does. Ryan Sieg shoving the general on into turn number 1. That'll be good to hold off the Austin Hill assault. Front of the pack, Chandler Smith gets to the bottom. He takes inside of Sheldon Creed, but can't get it done.
Had to look to the inside off of turn one. Fell back into line. Now Justin Allgaier looks to the bottom on Chandler Smith for the runner-up spot. We'll take that position away by the time they get to turn number two. Move Justin Allgaier to second. One car length behind the race leader, Chandler Smith.
Single file through the top four. Further back just outside the top five. They go three wide as they head back toward turn number three. That is Austin Hill. A.J. Allmendinger all the way to the bottom. Brandon Jones breaks out all the way to the outside wall.
Saves the race card as Brandon Jones after qualifying on the front row. Meanwhile, at the start-finish line, challenge for the race lead. Three wide as they race back to turn one. It's Allgaier on the inside lane.
Sheldon Creed tried to block Chandler Smith's outside run. That left the barn door wide open for Justin Allgaier. The little gator powers through to take the lead. Chandler Smith comes home for second. Sheldon Creed dropped Dick all the way back to third.
Don't count out William Byron, who is in the fourth spot and about to make it a four-way battle for the top spot. Here they come, single-file formation, front half of the field into turn number two. Led by Justin Allgaier, who's trying to break away from second place, the second place car off the corner, Chandler Smith.
Cole Custer getting up quickly in that fifth position to make this a three-car battle for that third spot. Sheldon Creed trying to hold on to it. Looking to driver's left is William Byron. He'll drift to the outside, looking to driver's right.
As the leaders come out of turn number three, Josh Berry brought his Ford Mustang onto the pit lane. A problem there. That service is complete, and he is bringing that car back out onto the racetrack. But he will lose a lap in the process. And right now, here's Brandon Jones after a lap ago, almost impaling the wall there in front of Jason Toy. Brandon Jones is in for a stop. Nine laps complete. Let's cover that stop.
Brandon Jones worried that they had a flat on the right side. That's why he was losing all those spots. They're going to come down. They're on the right side, jacked up now. Taking a long time on that right front to try to get it on. They're yelling on the radio to get them going because they don't want to lose a lap, but now they're finally around to the left side, putting on those tires. He'll be on and off pit row, but lost a lot of time and a lot of track position after a day he started in second and had a lot of hope going into today.
Front tire changer looked like they knocked lug nuts off, was digging through the ground trying to pick lug nuts off to make sure that wheel was on with five lug nuts secured.
He will indeed lose a lap to his race leading teammate Justin Allgaier. Brandon Jones at pit road speed just now exiting pit lane. Allgaier is already on by him. What a tough break for Brandon Jones, who came into today's race with such high hopes after a great qualifying effort and needing something positive, Mike, 67 points out of the playoffs.
Yeah, we thought today was going to be a day of opportunity for Brandon Jones, and there is still time to rebound from this challenge. But challenge is the word used to describe Brandon Jones' year. Winless, races have got away from them. They've found themselves in situations that weren't of their own making, but they've also found themselves in situations of their own making. It's been quite a year for Brandon Jones and that Junior Motorsports team.
You got to continue to find the positives and build on top of those. As we stay under the green flag, there'll be nine laps to go here in the opening stage of this afternoon's race. Justin Allgaier is beginning to run away with this one. Further back, Brandon Jones on those fresher tires, trying to slice his way back up through the field as we sit right now. Allgaier is the race leader. Here's how they run at the top 10. Chandler Smith is second. Cole Custer is third. William Byron is fourth. Austin Hill is up to fifth. A.J. Allmendinger goes sixth. Sheldon Creed, the pole sitter, has backslid to seventh. Sammy Smith is 8th. 9th is Riley Herbst, and Ryan Sieg is 10th.
Jeb Burton is 11th. Sam Mayer is 12th. Parker Kligerman is 13th. Taylor Gray, in the 14th position. Anthony Alfredo is 15th. Kyle Sieg is 16th, with Corey Heim in 17th. Parker Retzloff is in 18th. Matt DiBenedetto is 19th. And Josh Williams is up to 20th.
Jeremy Clements is 21st. 22nd is Ryan Truex. 23rd is Daniel Dye. Kyle Weatherman goes 24th. Brennan Poole is 25th, Leland Honeyman 26th, Jesse Love after a pit stop early on is 27th, Patrick Emmerling 28th, Shane Van Gisbergen 29th, and Ryan Ellis is 30th.
And to finish off the field, Mason Massey is in 31st, 32nd is Thomas Annunziata, 33rd is Blake Perkins, 34th is Stephen Malozzi, 35th Brandon Jones, Josh Berry is 36th, with Josh Palicki and Dawson Cram out of the event already in 37th and 38th positions.
Racing up the long pond straightaway for 9th, 10th, and 11th is Riley Herbst and Ryan C.
And Sammy Smith part of that battle as well, beginning to fade just a bit in that pack of traffic.
Dixie goes by to the inside. Smith will get in the line, one car length back.
Sammy Smith trying to mount that charge there as he catches up to the tail end of this line. Four cars in this pack coming back into turn number three. Sheldon Creed leads him. It is Riley Herbst, and then it's Ryan Sieg.
You know, we talk about Brandon Jones and his challenges starting on the outside of the front row. Well, Sheldon Creed has gotten the shuffle backward as well. He is nestled in the seventh position, but he is 6 seconds behind race leader Justin Allgaier. But Dave, he is in the middle of it. He's got a whole group right on behind him.
Yeah, there's a big group of cars all contesting for position. For the moment, they've calmed down a little bit. A car length, maybe two in between all of them. But the battle has been hot and heavy just about every step of the way.
Riley Herbst just behind Sheldon Creed, who's been backsliding just a bit here over the last few laps. A couple of other cars part of that traffic as well, including Sammy Smith, also Ryan Sieg, all within a car length as that pack leaves off of turn two.
They head back to turn number three. Sheldon Creed able to keep his race car to the bottom part of the racetrack the last couple of laps. Riley Herbst trying to do the same thing. This time, Creed slides up. Herbst looks to driver's left.
So that is for the number seven spot. Steve Post, after starting today's race on pole position, Sheldon Creed is doing the backslide.
Yes, he is. And what his problem is the car is pushing the front wheels. It's tight. That means the front wheels are turning and the car is not necessarily cooperating. And that is a major scrub off of speed. So Sheldon Creed looking forward to the end of this stage to come in and get some adjustments on his Toyota Camry.
Well, Todd Gordon, you're on that war wagon with Sheldon Creed. You are 14 laps in and he says it's plowing tight. You've lost 6 seconds. What do you do to that car when it comes in?
Well, these Xfinity cars, you still got track bar adjusters. That's probably one of the most sensitive adjustments you've got. Bringing that up, you can take wedge out of the car. You can work on air pressures. Take some right front air out, maybe put a little right rear air in. But I would think track bar would be the first thing I go to.
Under the green flag, coming to the line is the race leader, Justin Allgaier. His lead has grown to 3 full seconds. 5 laps to go here in the opening stage of this race. The battle for second, Dave Moody, is beginning to tighten up. Cole Custer has run down Chandler Smith.
Smith had about 10 or 12 car lengths on Custer just 3 laps ago, but the general has reeled him in. Cole Custer, the Xfinity Series point leader, right on the back bumper of Chandler Smith. And after that, it's only about 5 car lengths back to William Byron,
who is in that 4 spot as the race for second exits turn number one right now, about a half a length of the Long Pond straightaway behind Justin Allgaier, who is already in turn number two all by himself at the front of the field. Then it's Chandler Smith in second. Cole Custer looking inside and out in third.
Cole Custer trying to figure out which direction he wants to go. He's got the faster Ford right now against that Toyota Chandler Smith. Staying in the tire tracks as they head back into turn number three. This is bringing William Byron even closer. He's about 4 car lengths off the back deck lid of Cole Custer.
Chandler Smith's mirrors are filled with Cole Custer with William Byron waiting behind. Here's Smith. He'll snake his way down the front stretch. He'll go right down the middle of the front straightaway. Now he'll slide up against the outside wall, giving Custer the good look into one.
Custer took a look to the bottom, but immediately tucked right back in line. And in the closing, in the rearview mirror, closing fast is William Byron, but a big bobble for Willie B on entry to turn one. That's going to cost him 5 car lengths. Now Custer's going to make a move.
Custer out of line off of turn number one on the battle for second. Chandler Smith to his outside. By the time they get to turn number two, move Cole Custer into the runner-up spot. Chandler Smith back to third, just 5 car lengths in front of William Byron in fourth.
And Cole Custer trying to set his sights now up on the leader, but he has to look deep. That's that small little dot that's fading away because Justin Allgaier continues to pick him up and put him down. He is way out in front of the battle for that second spot again off three.
Josh Berry fans, not very good early on. He's cut down a left rear tire. He's on the pit lane. We've got 3 laps to go here in the opening stage. The battle for second continues to be a dandy.
It's all Justin Allgaier at the front of the pack. As long as that front straightaway is, he's got a third of that front straightaway in open asphalt. Back to the battle for second. Custer running a groove up off the bottom of the racetrack. Right behind him and still not giving up the battle is Chandler Smith.
Custer was able to take that spot away 1 lap ago off of turn number one. Has been able to draw away by about 3 car lengths from Chandler Smith in third. He's about to find company in the form of William Byron, who has reeled him in. Byron currently in the 4 spot, then a bit of a ways back to A.J. Allmendinger.
A.J. Allmendinger all by himself as he exits off turn number two, and he's got about 10 car lengths back to Austin Hill further behind him. Everybody's staying single file through the middle of the corner, although Cole Custer likes to run that second groove through the middle. Seems to be paying off.
Here come the leaders back to the start-finish line. 2 laps to go in this stage. If anybody was going to try to get cute with pit strategy, the previous lap was the lap to do it. Nobody came down pit road. Pit road is closed. Two to go in stage one. Allgaier leads him to one.
Josh Berry just off pit road and still smoke pouring off that left rear tire. They've got more of an issue there than just a tire problem. Down the back straightaway, the long pond stretch heading for two. It's all Justin Allgaier.
Continuing to open up his advantage at the front of the field over Cole Custer in second. Then that battle for third, which continues to tighten. Chandler Smith has the position, but now only a car length back to William Byron, who has reeled him in for that spot as they make their way off of turn two and onto the short chute.
About two car lengths off the back deck there of Chandler Smith is William Byron. The blue and white Chevrolet leads it back into turn number three, keeping it about two car length separation. Difference is Smith on the bottom side. It's William Byron working topside.
Good race here inside the top five, albeit back in positions three and four, because race leader Justin Allgaier already headed for turn number one with a four-second lead in the final lap of stage one.
He's so far gone, second place would have to dial one to find him. The second place battle has cooled as well. Cole Custer has pulled away by six or seven car lengths from Chandler Smith. He's got three now as they exit turn number one over William Byron.
And the battle for third, like you mentioned, has cooled just a bit. Chandler Smith able to get away from William Byron, who is trying to rally one final attempt at making a run at Smith up the back straightaway into turn two, about a car length and a half between them. Smith hangs on to that third spot.
Holds on to that spot. Cole Custer about 12 car lengths in front of him, but about a country mile in front is Justin Allgaier, all by himself off turn three.
Here they come off turn number three. Green and white checkered flag is waving at the start-finish line, and Justin Allgaier will win stage one this afternoon. Across the line in second, going to be Cole Custer, with others following as well. Here's a look at the top 10 and who will score points in this stage presented by Powerball. Powerball, the official lottery game of NASCAR, wants to make you a millionaire in victory lane. Head to Powerball.com to find out how you can enter the NASCAR Powerball playoff. Justin Allgaier, Cole Custer 1 and 2. Chandler Smith is third. William Byron 4th. A.J. Allmendinger comes across the line in 5th with Austin Hill in 6th. Riley Herbst in 7th. Ryan Sieg in 8th. Sammy Smith in 9th. And Sheldon Creed rounding out the top 10.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired a Shakespearean actor.
Oh, woe is me. Wherefore art thy claims help when I hadst a fender bender?
Pardon the interruption, but when you file a claim with Geico, your claims team will be in touch right away.
But willest they forget about me later when thou needest updates?
No. They'll always be there to, helpeth you out.
Well, I suppose that I should bemoan something else, like my lactose intolerance. Oh, whyest must Derry disagree with me so savagely?
Geico, great service without all the drama.
This is Steve Post. If you love sprint cars, you'll love Wing Nation. All the latest sprint car news and interviews from the stars of sprint car racing from around the country. Join Ashley Strumming, Aaron Evernham, and me every Tuesday on Motor Racing Networks and Wing Nation's Facebook pages. We go live with the weekend's winners and newsmakers from around the country. You can also find the podcast of all past shows on YouTube or subscribe to the podcast on any of your favorite podcast providers. Wing Nation, all sprint cars, all the time.
Pit Road will be open in a moment. First from Pocono Raceway, this is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
Picture an early morning and you're behind the wheel of a John Deere Gator SUV. You're towing up to 4,000 pounds of hay to make the most of every haul and gliding over rough terrain thanks to the heavy-duty independent suspension beneath you. We could keep trying to put you in the moment, but to really understand what this feels like, you just have to get in the seat.
You'll find legendary John Deere quality and save thousands on new full-size John Deere Gators now through September 3rd at Tractor Central. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
At Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your farm, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
Back at Pocono Raceway, field is under caution. They're in the short chute right now. Pit road is open. Good news for Brandon Jones. If you're just joining us, had some challenge early on, lost a lap, but he will get the free pass and he'll be able to rejoin the field of lead lap cars when the green flag comes back out.
So with pit lane open, it's a golden opportunity for drivers to come in and make some adjustments, perhaps like a track bar adjustment. Todd, what does a track bar adjustment do exactly?
Yeah, it's a good one. I brought that up in the last piece and really didn't get to talk about it, but raising the track bar raises the roll center, so it changes how much the load transfers in when you get in the corner. It keeps load on the left front tire and the right rear tire by raising the track bar, which makes the car turn better because the left front helps the car front end turn around the corner. So raising a track bar makes it turn better.
Cars are on pit road. Here we go. Pit stops at lap 21. Alan Cabana, you're up.
Cole Custer finished that stage in second, but he says it got too tight as the run went on, so he wants help on the long run. Chandler Smith is in, and he says he's losing all his time off of turn one, so they're going to make an adjustment on that number 81 car. And just in front of him, AJ Allmendinger finished that stage in fifth. A good stage for him, but he says his biggest issue is turn one. It gets tighter as the run goes on, so they're going to try to help that long run, Steve Post.
Alan, a whole bunch of tight race cars down here. Justin Allgaier just a little bit tight. William Byron tight as well. The race off from pit road. Cole Custer does it. He gets off pit road ahead of Justin Allgaier. Riley Herbst goes out next. William Byron goes out fourth. As we were talking about, a whole bunch of tight race cars. Austin Hill's car was tight, meaning the nose wants to slide up the speedway. Sam Mayer a little bit in the same condition. We talked about Sheldon Creed as well. The only car that was not tight, Riley Herbst reported that his car was a little tail happy, a little loose. Pit stops into stage number one here at lap number 21.
Good pit stop for Stuart Haas Racing. Cole Custer's team gained one spot. Riley Herbst's team gained him four positions, so a cumulative of five spots gained by that one race team.
The NASCAR Powerball Playoff is back and ready to make a new millionaire in Victory Lane. Last year, it happened to Stephanie. This year, it could be you winning $1 million at NASCAR Championship Weekend. Head to Powerball.com for the list of participating lotteries and join the race for $1 million. Powerball, the official lottery game of NASCAR and home to the NASCAR Powerball Playoff.
Hey race fans, Court of the Joy here. Join Ryan Flores and myself for Stacking Pennies every week. I'll break down my race and everything that happened on the track right out of my windshield.
Plus, we give out the dogs of the week for the best pit crews and pit crew guys and go in depth for all the money stops, pit road woes, and penalties.
You know what? You never know what guests are going to stop by the Nonsense Garage, but you can listen to Stacking Pennies every week on your favorite podcast platform, SiriusXM Channel 90 on Tuesdays, and the full YouTube version drops on NASCAR Channel on Wednesdays.
From Pocono Raceway, this is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
NASCAR coverage on Real Country 1430 WRDN brought to you by Martin Transport of Mondovi. For job opportunities, visit martin.com. It's better in blue at Martin Transport.
Back here at Pocono Raceway, Justin Allgaier has been the dominating car today. He's led 15 of the opening 23 laps. Not the best pit stop in the world for that race team. They are going to be penalized with equipment interference. So Justin Allgaier will fall to the tail end of the field.
Well, that'll give us something to monitor here as we're about to kick off stage number two. Unfortunately for Justin Allgaier, that is not what they were looking for. They won stage one. Of course, Dave, you know, and others having a conversation with Justin this morning and thought they have a good shot, but their work is going to be cut out for them as one of the tires got away there and interfered. Equipment interference, the official label of the penalty. But obviously, that's going to put Justin Allgaier way back in the field with a lot of work to do and only less when we go back to green, about 15 laps to go in stage two.
Got a different livery on the car this weekend. Carolina Carports on board Justin Allgaier's Junior Motorsports Chevrolet. They've been a partner at Junior Motorsports with Sam Aaron and a couple of other cars this year. But on board, Justin Allgaier had a great opening stage. Unfortunately, after that penalty, they're going to have to pass an awful lot of race cars. We're going to find out just how good this car is.
Speaking of strategies, remember when Jesse Love came down at lap five to basically do a little pitting strategy there? Well, he did not come to pit road. He'll be cycled through as the leader. Cole Custer posted in second as the field is coming across the start-finish line. They'll get to one to go signal, and then they will choose which lane they will restart in. Behind Cole Custer, you've got Riley Herbst. You got William Byron, Chandler Smith there, the top five. Sheldon Creed is sixth. A.J. Allmendinger is seventh. Austin Hill is eighth. Sam Mayer ninth. And Sammy Smith is tenth.
They make the opportunity to choose. Jesse Love will choose the outside lane for the restart. And then it's going to be, looks like Cole Custer and Riley Herbst, the Stewart Haas Racing teammates, are both going to go to the bottom side of the racetrack for the restart. William Byron will go to the outside of row number two. That means the field's coming to the Geico restart zone presented by Geico. Is your insurance playbook lacking? We'll switch to Geico and get all your insurance coverage from one place. Go to geico.com today to get started.
One of the surprising storylines of 2024 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, Alex, has been the lack of wins for Cole Custer and Riley Herbst. Stewart Haas Racing yet to drive into victory lane in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. They've had opportunity, they've had speed in their cars, but situations and circumstances have prevented them from doing so. They've had races get away from both of them, and right now they are in position to capitalize on this choose and an upfront starting spot to kick off stage two.
But Cole Custer is getting great finishes. He's your regular season points leader coming into today's race. So that is something you absolutely can hang your hat on right now, is the fact that you are in contention and you're putting yourself in position. You just haven't cracked through yet.
Yeah, their average finishing position for this year is better than it was last year. Just they haven't had the victories to get to victory lane with it. It'll be interesting to see. Cole Custer, first off pit road. He's not the pole sitter at this point. Jesse Love pitted at lap five, took fuel, made an adjustment, stayed out through that cycle. We'll see where they go here. They're leading the field to the green flag.
They have. That's okay. That's all right, Todd. Jesse Love will bring us back to the green flag, and a little strategy going to put them out front and into the clean air. The question is, can they get the jump and get out in front, or will Cole Custer get that jump, get out into the clean air? Because we've seen already today, whoever gets that jump and makes that break, they are difficult to catch. Justin Allgaier just proved that through stage one, and obviously at the conclusion of stage one. Pace car is on pit road. We are set to go back under the green flag with 15 laps to go in this stage.
Hayden Kritzer puts the green flag in the air. 15 to go, as Mike pointed out. We're racing off to turn one, side by side for the race lead.
Cole Custer's got the inside lane. He also, for a moment, had a shove from his teammate Riley Herbst. Herbst had to break out of line to try and block the inside three-wide run by Chandler Smith. Couldn't get it done. They're side by side for the lead off turn one.
With Jesse Love in the outside lane, Cole Custer to the bottom. They fan out two and three wide further back, and now they'll fan out three wide up front. William Byron wanting to go to the middle of those two, but has to fall back in the line. By the time they get to turn two, Cole Custer, half a car length over Jesse Love for the top spot, with Byron way out of shape in third, but gathers it up.
Jesse Love gets a good momentum on the high side. They're still side by side as they come back into turn number three. Cole Custer to the bottom side, gets the nose of that Ford out front. He'll take over the spot. William Byron all the way as he scrapes the outside wall.
William Byron up out of the groove, and he is going to lose a lot of spots. He's going to go all the way to the back of the field.
William Byron has a problem and he cannot get to pit road. He's going to have to go all the way around. Trouble for William Byron, and he will go from a position inside of the top five to last on the field. Field is in one.
Cole Custer under attack by Jesse Love for the lead. Jesse looks for the bottom. Cole Custer too strong as William Byron now just limping on a flat right rear tire.
Chandler Smith in the third spot. Riley Herbst in fourth. Austin Hill to round out the top five. Top two try to get away at the front. Cole Custer has two car lengths now over Jesse Love off turn two.
And two car lengths further back to the third spot there with Chandler Smith. He's trying to fend off the advances there of Riley Herbst. Herbst drops down to the inside and pulls back.
Caution is going to be on the speedway. The tire that was cut down by William Byron has come off the wheel and onto the racetrack. So a big chunk of that Goodyear Eagle tire carcass is laying in the middle of the racing line. And turn one, that will slow us down under the caution flag. This is the third of four scheduled starts for William Byron in the Xfinity Series for Hendrick Motorsports. He finished 23rd at Phoenix, finished in 11th at Darlington. Don't know what he's going to finish here at Pocono today, but he's scheduled to race his car again in the Xfinity Series race at Watkins Glen International.
Napa! Give your engine the attention it deserves with the advanced formulation of Napa Full Synthetic Engine Oil. It delivers faster oil flow for superior temperature protection in the harshest conditions, defends against sludge and buildup while keeping your engine running cleaner, longer, and improves fuel efficiency by reducing friction, helping you stay at peak performance mile after mile. Try Napa Full Synthetic Engine Oil today. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Napa! Daytona always brings the drama.
Everything's on the line. The risk will be higher.
Three wide.
Look how insane this is.
Gunning to keep playoff hopes alive. Oh. It's now or never.
It's the most stressful night of racing that you'll ever go through.
For an unforgettable weekend of family fun, high wattage star power, and a front row seat full of fireworks. NASCAR Weekend at Daytona International Speedway, August 23rd and 24th. Get your tickets now at DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com.
From Pocono Raceway, this is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
Not everyone can fix their own car. Or a leaky pipe. So what do? Call an expert. And if daily finances for you or a family member have become too much of a burden, call Rhonda at Numbers R Us. Whether it's an older loved one, member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Numbers R Us takes care of all the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durand. Bauer Built, built on service.
Be listening for the WRDN Outdoor Report, Monday through Friday at 8:20 and 4:20. Brought to you by Ryan's Sports Shop, downtown Durand.
Pit lane is open this time by here at Pocono Raceway under the caution for the third time. We had Anthony Alfredo and Daniel Dye, the only drivers to come off the racetrack. They were further down the running order, so obviously the majority of the lead lap cars opted to stay on the track.
William Byron really, really skirted disaster right there when he had that tire let go and he was up into the wall. He made gentle contact. He didn't impale the car into the fence, but when he lost the carcass of the tire down in turn number one, they came down, they changed tires, he's back out onto the racetrack. Let's go back downstairs to Steve Post.
Yeah, Mike, you know you're right, and this is one of those tracks where NASCAR requires and Goodyear requires inner liners on the car. It's like a smaller tire inside the tire, and the car came in on that inner liner on the right rear. That saved a lot as well. So they took some time. The parade laps, the caution laps are so long here at Pocono, they literally went under the whole car. They just reported to William that there's no splitter damage, no damage to any of the crush panels. Everything looks good on the race car. So he did a great job saving that race car. Could have been a whole lot worse, but Greg Ives, the crew chief, feels like the car is good. They're down one set of tires. That's moderately concerning to the team, but they're not down a full race car, so they're happy about that.
Yeah, that there's good news, there's bad news across the board. Let's talk a little bit more about the inner liner that Steve Post just alluded to. Something we have here on tracks over a mile in length in the Xfinity Series, not on the NASCAR Cup Series side of things because they have a different construction.
Yes, this is something we've had for years in Cup when we had 15-inch wheels. There's the profile of tires fairly tall. There's room inside. They put basically it's a tire within the tire. It's a lower profile. There's probably an inch that it's below the tread surface, but it supports the car as it goes around. When they went to the 18-inch wheel and still keeping the outer circumference the same for the Cup cars and the Gen 7 car, there wasn't room to put this in, and Goodyear went away from that. So we have that safety feature here on the Xfinity side because there's such a tall sidewall to the tire. We don't have that in the Cup cars with a new generation car.
One to go is being given at the start-finish line. Cole Custer will be the first to receive that. Then the field will choose which lane to restart in, inside or outside. Cole Custer right behind the safety car. He and Jesse Love will go on the outside. Chandler Smith is the first car that will restart down low. Austin Hill will slide up down low. Riley Herbst will restart third in the outside line. So right now, everybody getting their choose strategy and affairs in order. Next time by, we will be green. That'll leave us with 10 laps to go in stage two.
Yeah, and it's important. Stage one was won by Justin Allgaier. So how has Allgaier been able to rebound since the pit lane penalty? Well, he's 27th right now, but in all fairness, we only ran, two laps under the green before William Byron had the cut down tire and eventually put the debris down on the racetrack. So Allgaier only had a couple of laps to try to gain spots. Got to be patient here, and this is where a veteran race car driver really comes into play.
Right now on the racetrack, we're getting set for the restart, and the field will be back in about three quarters of a lap. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be back with the NASCAR Cup Series, the Great American Getaway 400, presented by visitpa.com. NASCAR Live Race Day on the air, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. In case you missed it yesterday here at Pocono, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series ran the CRC Brake Lean 175. Corey Heim getting win number 5 of the season. It'll be two races to go for the trucks. They're racing coming up this weekend at Lucas Oil, Indianapolis Raceway Park, and then at Richmond Raceway on August 10th. Of course, next weekend, all eyes of the motorsports world will be on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It'll be the Brickyard 400 for the NASCAR Cup cars. The Xfinity Series will be racing next weekend there as well. Our friends at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network will have the call. And Alex, it's going to be great to get back on the oval at the Brickyard after 3 years of racing on the road course.
And I agree 100%. But then again, I'm a Hoosier, and I grew up with the oval at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with the Indy 500. So, yeah, I'm excited to see the NASCAR Cup Series and Xfinity cars back on the big track at Indianapolis.
But these Xfinity Series teams have matters to tend to here in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania, like navigating this restart. 10 laps to go in Stage 2. Pace car on pit road. Cole Custer up to the gearbox as the green flag is waving. Everybody staying in 2x2 lockstep formation with Cole Custer having a fender out in front headed to one.
In the Twin Cities has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for east central Goodhue County and southeastern Minnesota, southwestern Pepin County, southeastern Pierce County until 4 p.m. At 2:54 p.m., a severe thunderstorm was located near Bay City, or 7 miles east of Red Wing, moving east at 25 miles per hour. Expected hazards include 60 mile per hour wind gusts and quarter size hail. This is a radar-indicated threat. The following impacts are expected. Hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect wind damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Locations impacted include Red Wing, Pepin, Bay City, Stockholm, Frontenac, Wakuda, Porcupine, Red Wing Airport, Frontenac State Park, Central Point, Isdale, and Ella. This includes U.S. Highway 61 between mile markers 82 and 91. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued until 4 p.m. for the following county, Goodhue, Minnesota, and the following counties in Wisconsin, Pepin and Pierce.
race leader.
Smith took it almost all the way down to the pit wall on the front straightaway, but the results work out for him. He'll come away with the second spot. Austin Hill dropped back to the number third position, feeling the heat now from Riley Herbst.
Riley Herbst right there in the fourth spot. Great racing from second on back, then a bit of a gap back to Jesse Love, who takes over that fifth position, well behind the race leader, Cole Custer, who continues to tiptoe away.
Back in that battle with the second spot, Chandler Smith has it. Austin Hill, he's trying to get to it. He's about three car lengths back, but he has to worry about Riley Herbst. He stays in the tire tracks of Austin Hill. The bottom part of turn number three.
They stay on the bottom to let the car drift wide on the outside lane coming up off of turn number three. Good side-by-side race now shaping up for position six and seven. A.J. Allmendinger and Jesse Love getting after it.
Allmendinger dives to the inside. He'll go to the inside down the front straightaway. Take that spot into turn one. Move A.J. to position number five. Little bump and run further back. Shoving up the racetrack, Corey Heim. He got a little attack from behind.
Well, Heim will get back into line just inside of the top ten as Jesse Love continues to fade on those older tires. Allmendinger made the pass a moment ago. Battle for second, going by my position now, led by Chandler Smith, has stabilized among the three cars involved.
Settled back there, four car lengths between him and Austin Hill. It is Riley Herbst, just about a half a car length behind Austin Hill. Hill to the bottom, Herbst trying the top side.
Yeah, Riley Herbst, though, slinging that Ford Mustang wide off turn number three, trying to get a good run down the front straightaway, but he's still in this battle for third. Drop back to a battle further back in the pack. Sammy Smith's hands are full right now. This is the race from 12th on back. Dave, it involves about a dozen race cars all stacked up behind
it. Boy, it does, and everybody just kind of throwing moves at each other coming off turn number three. Sammy Smith has got Sam Mayer in the rearview mirror. Couple of car lengths further back, they're swapping positions. Parker Kligerman is in that mix as